Hello and welcome to the Veterans Career Compass,
where we meet with employers,
veterans,
military spouses,
and those in the community
to share their stories.
I'm Rich Comets.
And I'm Jana Toner, and we're with American Corporate Partners,
the veteran mentorship program for meaningful employment.
We'll be talking about employment
and learning opportunities,
stories of growth and success,
and tactics to make your transition into the corporate world a little easier.
Thanks for tuning in.
So this is the ACP Career Compass podcast. I'm joined today by Heather. Heather is an executive coach and consultant who has founded two firms. She's currently the CEO. The first is Heather Hanson Presents, which focuses on Heather's legal background and trusts how to advocate for your ideas, products, and more. The second is Advocate to Win, which Heather coaches individuals as a media contributor, author, and consultant. Prior to these endeavors, Heather was a trial attorney for over 20 years, and she was also a legal analyst with WFLX Fox 20, partner at O'Brien and Ryan, and guest speaker for a variety of universities and TV shows such as Dr. Phil. Heather got her JD from Villanova University. She has published two books with the titles The Elegant Warrior and Advocate to Win, 10 Tools to Ask for What You Want and What You Get, along with volunteering her legal services to support Center for Child Advocates. Heather is currently an ACP mentor working with a military spouse whose husband works for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Heather, I'm really glad to have you as one of our first guests. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me, Scott? I'm so happy to be here.
Wonderful. So Heather, my first question is just going to be, why did you choose to volunteer to help out the veteran community and military spouse community?
So I have to admit to ignorance as to why I first started to volunteer. I do some work in the DEIB space and have done that work. And it wasn't until recently, and specifically I worked with Hospital Corporations of America, HCA, and recognized that veterans are part of that space and should be part of that space. Mm-hmm. And the more that I thought about it and the more that I heard about it, it made so much sense to me that veterans and their spouses bring so much diverse opinion and experience and talents into the talent pool and into the work pool and into these conversations. And then I became just very excited about making sure that other people who probably have that same missing piece of knowledge have mm-hmm. that knowledge. And so working with, right now I work with that a fabulous military spouse and have worked with others and to make sure that I'm sharing what I can about what you guys experience.
Yeah, Heather, we really can't thank you enough for volunteering, given your background and everything. And it's exactly as you said, as a military veteran myself, you get out with so many hard and soft skills that you acquire from the military. And then it's just coalescing all those things together to really be best prepared for the private sector, because our military does many great things. But sometimes in the transition process, there's some things that are lost in between about how to bring all those skills to bear and really how to advocate for yourself to say, hey, I have this really rich background. I have all these unique experiences. How do I bring that to bear to bring the most to whichever company or organization I'm going to work for? So you do a lot of work with advocacy. Can you tell me what are some tools to really advocate for yourself and to really sell yourself and be more marketable on the job search?
Yeah. So the main thing that I would say is I call it the three E's. Now, it used to be three C's and we can talk about the three C's, but the three E's of an advocate. And I think that the reason that I have shifted into these three E's is they are the foundation of all of this work. And the first E is energy. And it's exactly what you just said, Scott. You bring so much to the table, but you have to know it. You have to believe it, because belief is contagious. And if you have that energy of belief and confidence and knowledge and certainty and sureness in your value, you bring that to the interviews, the negotiations, the conversations that you have. So building up your energy of belief, and we can talk about how to do that. That's mm-hmm. the first E. And then the second E is empathy. And I did a TED talk about empathy, and there's actually two types of empathy. There's cognitive empathy, which is to see what the other person sees. And there's effective empathy, which is feeling what they feel. I'm not so worried about effective empathy, but I think you as a veteran or as a veteran spouse or partner, you want to see what the employer sees. What are their problems? What are their pain points? What are they looking for? How do they see you and your value? And how can you shift what they see so that they see your value as meeting those problems or those pain points? And we can talk about how to do that too, but that's the second E. So we've got energy, empathy. And the last one is evidence. And someone once said that facts are the ingredients and evidence is the meal. And so facts are everywhere, But it's what you do with those facts that turn them into evidence to prove that you are the best person for the job. So we can talk about how to do that as well. But those keys are energy, empathy, and evidence. And when you get those together, you become a really strong advocate for yourself and your potential.
I love those three E's because speaking as a Marine myself and so many veterans that I work with is we thrive under structure, but sometimes when we're on structured environment, we really don't know where to start. It can be difficult. So just having three E's, energy, empathy, and evidence is such a great starting point. And I really loved what you said about evidence being the factors for the ingredients, but the evidence is the meal because as we were talking about, veterans bring so much to bear, but it's how do you provide that evidence? How do you provide that space? But I'm going to come back to the first one, which is energy, because so many of our veterans, so many of our male spouses have so much energy, that they have so much enthusiasm for what they want to do. But sometimes it's hard to coalesce on where to spend that energy, where to provide that space. So could you talk a little bit about energy and how it is a contagious feeling, but how to channel that contagious energy into a positive outcome?
Well, and I think that your point about enthusiasm and like high energy is a good one, because high energy is not always the energy you want to bring to an interview or a conversation. You know, my favorite energy as a trial attorney was what I call, and I'm putting this in quotes for those listening, I've got you energy. And you guys have that, right? I mean, for goodness sakes, if anyone has that, you have it, right? But my clients in the courtroom, they wanted to know that I had them, that I had their back, that I could help them if there was a problem, that I knew what I was doing. And that's a pretty grounded energy. It's not a hyper, you know, it's not a fast energy. Mm-hmm. It's very grounded. But I think that for all of you, if you're going for an interview or you're looking for a job, you want to have that grounded, sure, secure, I've got you energy. And sometimes that means that you've got to persuade yourself that you can do the thing, that you're the best person for this job. And that we'll touch upon that when we talk about evidence. You need mm-hmm. to prove to yourself and be in full belief that you have the skills, the talent, the knowledge to fill this position. And sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, especially for people who are returning from having been in service, they don't have the specific skills, but there's so many transferable skills that they have. Mm-hmm. And so it's really collecting all of those facts and turning them into evidence to prove that you are a good fit by looking at all of those skills and how they can apply to this job.
Yeah, and I love what you said there, because so many of the proteges we work with, they do have all these backgrounds, and they do have this energy to really give it their all. But it's just that imposter syndrome of it all, that you have this background and you're very teachable, because that's the one thing that I can assure you the military does, is you need to be flexible and you need to be teachable, because the environment's always going to change, the situation's always going to change, and you have to adapt, improvise, and overcome. And that's something our military does so well in the military. But then when it comes to the private sector, they don't feel like they can adapt, improvise, and overcome and be that best candidate. So then can we move on to your second E, which is empathy, and talk about a little bit about how to see that work, how to empathize with other individuals?
Yeah. And empathy is so important, because both your energy and your evidence have to speak to what I call your jury, right? So for me, the jury was 12 people in a jury box who decided whether or not I won. And for you, your jury is the people or person that you're interviewing with, the person who makes the decision as to whether you get that job or that opportunity and decide whether or not you win. And so you really want to see your energy from their perspective. Do they want someone who's super enthusiastic and sort mm-hmm. of vibrating high, or do they want someone with that lower, I've got you energy? And mm-hmm. then see the evidence from their perspective. Okay, I don't have experience with this particular skill that you have listed on the qualification sheet, but I'm very teachable. How can the fact that I'm teachable, how can I communicate that in a way that speaks to their problem? So the empathy is really getting practiced, and it is practice mm-hmm. at seeing things from other people's perspective. There's a lot of ways that we can get practiced at that. One way that I love, that I encourage people to do every day if they can, is when they are going through a situation in their life and they're seeing themselves as a victim, it's a good mm-hmm. opportunity to take that situation and say, okay, same situation, same exact facts, how could I be the villain? And then that way, it's just playing with perspective. And then same situation, same exact facts. How could I be the victor? So it's the three mm-hmm. V. and just playing with it to see, oh, there is another perspective. Oh, and there's another perspective still. And just you start to see, oh, people could see this all kinds of ways. And then know your jury. If you know the hiring partner that you're interviewing with, get to really know them, look them up on LinkedIn, see if there's any news articles about them, see if they posted anything on Facebook. What do they like? Are they into tennis? You know, all the different things that you can know about this person so that when you're talking about evidence in the courtroom, I would often encourage my witnesses to give analogies that spoke to our jury. If I knew we had a carpenter on the jury, we would make analogies about the medical care that we gave, that the doctor gave to carpentry. And so you want to do that for your jury as well. And that's that empathy piece.
Yeah. And I love what you said, because sometimes it's about just shifting your perspective. Sometimes you bottle yourself into these tight parameters and you think, I'm in this box. But just seeing yourself outside those boxes just opens up a brand new set of opportunities and skill sets that you might not have thought that you may have. And that brings me to the last E perfectly, which is evidence. So how do you bring that evidence to bear? How do you say, I've done this in the military, I have these experiences as a military spouse, perhaps, and how do I bring that to bear to show the potential job, the hiring manager, that I do have these skills to bear, and here's the evidence of how I bring them to bear?
So you want to start with what you want to prove. So because, you know, in the courtroom, we all have the same facts. Everybody's got binders and binders and binders of facts, depositions and medical records and all of the things. And so I want to prove in my cases, it was that the doctor was not negligent. The other side wanted to prove that the doctor was negligent. So first you need to know what you want to prove. And then you look at the evidence and say, how can this be used to prove that? One of the things that I encourage, and I really encourage even those of you that don't like to journal, and again, I put that in quotes, I really encourage you to do that. And it's to keep what I call an evidence journal. Every day, write down three pieces of evidence from that day of your talents, your skills, your experience, your smarts, you know, and it could be something as simple as I didn't freak out when the kids were fighting in the back seat. Mm-hmm. But don't just write down that. Write down what is that evidence of? That's evidence that I'm patient. That's evidence that I'm able to handle conflict. That's evidence that I'm able to maintain focus on something like driving when there are things going on that are distracting. You know, there's a million things that that could be evidence of. But the more that you play with it and that, to your point, see that different perspective, the more that you can then apply it to a job. So that when that job opportunity comes up, you look at that evidence journal and you say, I am good at these things, even though I might not have that exact job qualification that's on the list.
Exactly. And just the journaling, just the idea of just kind of stretching outside your comfort zone is, many of my generation are like, oh, I don't want to keep a journal, I want to keep a diary. But in the military, I had a CEO, one of the best CEOs, commanding officers that I've ever had. He said, always be building your I love me binder. So the I love me binder is exactly as you're saying. It's just little notes every day of this is what I accomplished and this is how I can prove that success. Because in the military, we used to have semi-annual promotion periods, and it was very structured. It's a lot different from the private sector. But in the same way, you just had to be able to advocate for yourself. You had to bring to bear, hey, over the past 6 months, this is everything I've included in my I Love Me binder, and here's all the evidence to support why I'm best put forward for the promotion, why I deserve it over my peers. And so I really love that. And I do love that you're bringing everything back to your trial attorney experience, because it gives such a good framework to build upon. So can you talk a little bit about why you transitioned from being a trial attorney to being a consultant in advocacy?
Yeah, I loved being a trial attorney. I loved it. And I was very good at it. And then I realized that it was time for me to have some new challenges. I had sort of risen to the top of my field in that way. And I wanted to try something new. I also recognized that the skills that I used in the courtroom could be applied outside the courtroom, and I could impact people's lives in a different way, not more or less impactful, but very different. And so I started really with doing keynote speaking, and then people would ask me to coach them or come into their organizations. And I found such an impact that it was a slow, you know, some people say leap and the net will appear. At least thought it was like a creep. It was like slowly but surely I was doing more of the consulting and the speaking and the coaching than I was of the time in the courtroom until finally I made that full transition. But I definitely, the skills I learned in the courtroom are ones that I use and I help my clients use every single day.
Excellent. And yeah, it's just wonderful because I have no doubt you're a great trial attorney, but just speaking to you right now, I can tell you're such a good advocate and a phenomenal mentor. And I do want to speak a little bit about the mentoring piece, just a little bit. I know you've been mentoring over this past year with us. Are there any unique challenges posed by military spouses and the veteran community that you really notice that maybe some of your tools for 10 tools to advocate for yourself? Have you noticed some common pitfalls that the military community may have and how they may overcome that more readily?
Yeah, I mean, one of the tools in the book, the second book that I wrote is called Advocate to Win, and it's got 10 tools. And one of those tools is perspective. We've talked about that with the empathy piece. But to mm-hmm. your point, I think that when you are a fish in a fishbowl, you don't realize you're in water. And I think that sometimes it's that transition, you know, the person I've been mentoring is transitioning and out of the military. And mm-hmm. part of that transition is recognizing that all of the people in my life are military. All of my social events are military. Mm-hmm. And how am I to, you know, if you want to do something that is outside of that world, how do you do it? And the discomfort of leaving a world, especially if you've been there a long time, and sort mm-hmm. of stepping into a different kind of world. I think that that's a challenge. And it mm-hmm. really takes that first E, that energy of belief in yourself, belief in your value, belief that you can handle any emotion. You know, mm-hmm. I'm a big reader. I love to read. And there's a book called Energy Rising that was really good. It's Dr. Julia DeGangi is her name. And she's a neuroscientist. And she talks about the hardest emotions for the human brain are embarrassment or shame or humiliation and confusion. And I think that both of those emotions come up with this transition, right? It can be embarrassing to feel like I don't know what I'm doing and I'm out of my comfort zone. And that can actually mm-hmm. be a little bit humiliating and shameful if you let it. And then it's confusing. And so mm-hmm. to know that these emotions are normal and they stink, but you've survived them a million times in your past, you will survive them again. And on the other mm-hmm. side of them, you will get the things that you want.
And exactly as you said, it's such a paradox in the military because you do have such this tight-knit community that's going to have your back no matter what because of your shared experiences and your shared background. I know I feel that with the Marines is I've been out for almost 7 years now, and every time I meet a Marine on the streets, it's always Semper Fi, how you doing, brother, that kind of thing. But then when you're out in the big world, it kind of feels like you're this small fish in an ocean, whereas in the military, you're kind of big fish in more of a pond or a lake. Yep. And so as you were saying, that's a wonderful piece of advice. Are there any other really advocate to win tools that you really think you want to highlight that can really help out our community?
I think there's two that come to mind. One is words. The words that we use when we talk to ourselves and others are really important. And so just, you know, be conscious of the words that you use, especially when you're talking to yourself, and try mm-hmm. to be, you know, use words that are uplifting and enthusiastic and encouraging rather than words that are sort of knocking us down. I think that just being aware of those words, I do it too. You know, I sometimes what am I saying to myself? What am I doing? Why am I so tough on myself? But being aware of those words. And then I would say questions, you know, asking questions. Don't be afraid. There's a study that shows that people who ask more questions are seen as more intelligent, but we often think if we ask questions, we're seen as dumb mm-hmm. or not good enough. And so really be willing to ask more questions about the job, about the opportunity, about your skills. I think that it really allows you to do those three E's, right? You start to see the things from the other person's perspective because you've asked questions about their perspective. You start to be able to create evidence that speaks to that perspective because you've asked the questions, and that mm-hmm. gives you that belief, which raises your energy.
And asking questions, so much of our military and our military spouse community, they think they have to be self-sufficient. They have to pull themselves up by the bootstraps every day and achieve everything on their own. And one thing that I've really enjoyed working with ACP and working with the veteran community is just, it's the ability to ask for help. It's the ability to ask for a mentor to be a sounding board, to work on your resume, to work on those interviewing skills. Because again, as you said, it's asking questions. It's asking people who have the knowledge base like yourself, just how do I advance? How do I continue to proceed professionally and personally? And so asking questions is great. Are there any specific questions when it comes to mentoring that you think are particularly helpful to ask maybe early on as you're getting to know somebody?
You know, one of my favorite questions, it's actually not my question. It's Judge Rosemary Aquilina. She's a judge. She actually was in the JAG Corps, funny enough.
Oh, nice.
But she's famous because she was the judge in the Larry Nassar case. He was the gymnast doctor for the Olympics who was accused
of. Yes, from Michigan State.
Yes. Yeah. And she was the judge and she was amazing. And I was working at the Law and Crime Network at the time. So I watched that whole hearing and I was amazed by how she changed that entire hearing. At the beginning, only a few women intended to come forward and tell their stories. And by the end, over 100 women had come forward. And I attributed it to one question. She didn't, when the woman stood before, she didn't say, why are you here? She didn't say what happened to you. She said, tell me what you want me to know. And every one of those women told her something different, depending on their perspective, right? So some talked about athletics, some talked about their families, some talked about work, some talked about their bodies, but they told her what they wanted her to know. And so I think that when you're sitting down with someone for the first time, it's tell me what you want me to know about you, about this job, about your problem, about what you see in me that might be able to fix it. And for mentors and mentees, it's tell me what you want me to know about, especially for me as a mentor. I want to know what you as a mentee, what are you looking for? How can I best help? What are you afraid of? But I, whatever you want me to know about those things. And so that goes both ways.
I really love what you said, just said there, because so many of our mentees, they feel kind of anxious to have that first meeting with the mentor because they're like, I don't know what I necessarily want to get out of this relationship. I don't even know the right question to ask. So just having that first question, tell me what you want me to know, helps so much because then you break the ice, you really develop the relationship, and it's so great. Heather, thank you so much for taking the time today. I know you're very active on LinkedIn, so everyone should check you out. I also want to just plug your two books very quickly, The Elegant Warrior, How to Win Life's Trials About Losing Yourself, and Advocate to Win, 10 Tools to Ask for What You Want and to Get It. Do you have any closing words you want to leave us with?
No, I just really, truly, I know this sounds trite, but I really want to thank everyone for their service. It is no small thing. It is, you know, I am very cognizant of all of the things that I have in my life and that they come at an expense. And so I'm just so grateful and I'm happy to be able to give back even just in a little way.
Well, Heather, I just want to, on behalf of ACP, I want to thank you so much for volunteering with us. You're really making a big impact in military spouse's life. And I hope you continue to mentor with us and continue just to be a great advocate for our military community. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Heather. And it's been a pleasure.
Scott, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to another edition of ACP's Career Compass Podcast.
Tune in every week to hear more stories and conversations from our community.
If you're a service member, a veteran, a military spouse, or if you want to become a mentor, visit our website at acp-usa.org.
And if you'd like to donate to ACP so we may expand our reach to even more veterans and spouses, you can do so at the ACP website.
All links to support ACP will be found in the show notes.
Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for tuning in.